Evening, everyone. Psalm 23. Do you know that one? Listen, I know this psalm is. Some of you probably memorized this. It's probably something you've known for many years more than I've been alive. What more can you add to it? Not much, but then I started thinking about it and probably ended up with too much. But we're going to go through and we're going to go gently and we'll bring out some things which I thought were very sweet in the preparing of it, and hopefully by the Holy Spirit one of those will grab you and, as the psalm says, refresh your soul. Let's pray for God's help in that. Good Father, I am just aware that this morning some of us here will be walking through that darkest valley. That some of your flock here will be feeling harassed and helpless. Walking amidst real evil. Feeling the valley of the shadow of death. Father, there is such peace and serenity in this psalm. And Father, we just pray for your Holy Spirit that by it, that you speak, that I melt away through my weakness and my fumbling and my sin, that you speak and you refresh our very souls, Lord, in our inmost being, you give us peace. Lord, take us to green pastures tonight. Lead us beside quiet waters. Lord, by your Spirit, refresh our souls. May we see your shepherd. May we see his hands leading us gently. Lord, show us your shepherd tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. There's this amazing bit in Matthew 9 where Matthew so far has been taking us very sort of outside, and then suddenly takes us inside the heart of Jesus, and we see Jesus' heart, and we see the reality of the world. It's Matthew 9:36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Do you feel harassed and helpless tonight? John 10:14. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Psalm 23 is like, let me tell you why that is the best news. If you take anything away, take away verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. It's worth saying, we can lose the impact of that imagery, because we're used to green pastures in this green and pleasant land of England. Maybe even quiet waters, we have the Broads. But this is a psalm in the wilderness. So we've got to imagine David in far more barren lands, in deserts. Like read in verse 5, David's talking about enemies. These are turbulent lands, we're probably at war. And so actually we've got to read this in a hurricane of dust and blood. David prays, in that hurricane, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Imagine barren desert wilderness being transformed into verdant green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. I'm going to say something which might be heresy only in Norfolk, that I don't really like sailing. But Dad forced me to when I was a kid. Because he's Norfolk born and bred. And the one thing I did enjoy about sailing, though, was, I don't know if you've seen this, like the sound of the water as you sail. Does anyone know that? Just like the soft trickle. I think it might be the best sound in the world. It's so soothing. It's so peaceful. He leads me beside quiet waters. Do you know that sound? I hope you're hearing it now. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. The good shepherd refreshes my soul. You know, I've always found it astonishing how much Jesus prayed. Like, maybe I shouldn't, but reading the Gospels, it's astonishing. Like the one who is, like this is Hebrews 7, we'll read this, I'm sure. The one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens, surely he'd be the last to pray? You read the Gospels and he's overwhelmingly the first. Like we often get to a new scene and Jesus just coming back from hours in the wilderness with his Father. His disciples, isn't it interesting, they didn't ask him, Lord, teach me to preach. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Clearly Jesus found much refreshment for his soul wearing communion with his Father. And remember Psalm 22, which Ralph preached from last week. The agony and anguish of the cross. It seemed like the greatest pain was less than nails in his feet, although no doubt that was unbearably painful. But it was the separation from his Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? It was how far away his Father, who so refreshed his soul, that was the greatest pain. And if each psalm belongs first to Christ, then where do we find refreshment for our soul as harassed and helpless sheep? Well, like Jesus, we find it in communion with our Father. We find it in communion through the quiet waters of the Holy Spirit. But how do we do that when our souls are overwhelmed, when our souls are disturbed, when they're under siege, when you're trying to get the kids to church or to school? How do we find peace? Here's a few thoughts that hopefully will be useful. One, flee the noise. Two, there's a season for simple contemplation. And three, true rest is found in knowing the shepherd. First, flee the noise. I wonder if you know, maybe now as you're hearing the psalm, you're like, that peace feels unfamiliar. But you might have known that in your life. Just do you remember the last time when you felt the real peace that David's feeling? Perhaps this week, switch off the babble and the noise. I don't even realize it, but on my screens there is so much noise that I'm receiving, so many ideas, and sometimes I don't notice I'm surrounded by it, but boy, there is a lot of babble. And it doesn't want you to rest. Like, watch this! Listen to this! God, have you played this? It's very good. That Marvel film just finished, but stick around. There's a post-credit scene. And you can't even just rest in the film you've watched, because now you're thinking about the next film. Oh, look, there's a trailer for another film. Do you have an iPhone 14? Oh, get that, and you will finally be in green pastures of tech. iPhone 15, it's come out. Get it. Want it. It's got this feature and that feature. This person is arguing with that person over this controversy. Breaking news, this awful thing has happened. I haven't recovered from the last one. Sometimes we need to switch it off and flee the noise. Maybe you're someone who needs to get away to nature, to the beach. Maybe like you're like me and you don't actually find that very restful and you're coughing in armchair type. Whatever you need, seek that precious rest. It's worth it. It will refresh your soul to be in communion with your Father. Second, there's a season for some simple contemplation. And please don't mishear me on this. Like all of Scripture is to be profitable and to be treasured above all else this world has to offer. But I was thinking in this psalm, like I wonder if there's a season for Romans and there's a season for Psalms. Do you know what I mean? So the Bible teacher, Matt Searles, said when his mum was dying, the only thing he could contemplate over and over again, the only thing he could read was Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. It's all he could contemplate. When I went through a really restless period back at uni, I remember all I could read was Psalm 16 over and over again. I don't know if you've been in these seasons. I was speaking to my mum. She said there was a season where all she could do was lie down and rest beside the quiet waters of Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Because third, true rest is found only in knowing the shepherd. The Puritan Thomas Brooks puts it this way, above all other resting places, himself is your resting place. His free mercy and love is your resting place. The pure, glorious, matchless, spotless righteousness of Christ is your resting place. See, look at verse 2 again. We can only find these green pastures if Christ makes us. We can only find these quiet waters if Christ leads us. It's okay if this is a season where you can only meditate on the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. God doesn't measure his approval of us by how many chapters we read per day. As Christians, we live from approval, not for it. He is the shepherd of our souls, and he has laid down his life once and for all. Spurgeon put it this way on Psalm 23, when the soul grows sorrowful, our shepherd revives it. When the soul is sinful, he sanctifies it. When the soul is weak, he strengthens it. He does it. Look at verse 3. He refreshes my soul. So is your soul starved and weak? Is it like a desert, gasping for refreshment? Is it embattled, wounded, close to surrender? Then pray with me this week. Make me lie down in green pastures, O good Father in heaven. Lead me beside quiet waters, O good Prince of Peace. Refresh me, good Shepherd of my soul. Pray with that with me this week. Let's read on. Verse 3, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. That very famous verse. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In the Christian life, there are mountains and there are valleys, right? There are mountains where we behold the glory of the Lord and we come down and our face is shining because we have seen the very face of the Lord. There are mountains, but there are deep, dark valleys as well, aren't there? We know what they're like. Sometimes they're violent, brutal attack. Sometimes they're just barren and empty. And sometimes those evil paths, those dark valleys, there are doing. There it's our chasing after sinful desires. Gleefully encouraged by Satan, he wants us to go down there. And without Christ, I lead my soul along the wrong paths all the time. Because I do it for my name's sake, and I end up in dark valleys. I fear evil, and yet I also love evil. I'm not comforted, I'm disturbed. When I try to go without my shepherd, I become harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Has that been your experience? But sometimes the evil is outside. It's just suffering as a symptom of a fallen world, an evil world, full of crooked paths and dark valleys, valleys that promise so much good and just turn out to be dark. And I love how this psalm, it doesn't dismiss suffering. Like, notice, David doesn't dismiss the valleys as a sign of weak faith, as somehow illegitimate of the Christian walk. Like, yes, we are blessed with the mountains, but believer, valleys are also where the Christians walk. Like, maybe even more so. Our good shepherd will lead us in right paths. And here's the comfort. Sometimes the right path will be the darkest valley. But like, that does beg the question, why doesn't he who's always in control, who literally forms the paths by his hand, why doesn't he always lead us to green pastures? Why can't we just always be beside quiet waters? The eternal question. And I don't know exactly why. The important thing is the psalm seems to be not why, but that he is with us, even in the darkest valley. But here are a couple of thoughts on the why that I think do offer some peace. First, the darker the valley, the tighter we clasp to our shepherd's hand. And second, the darker the valley, the more our shepherd is glorified in us. First, he allows me to walk through the darkest valley to show me that my shepherd, look down, in my shepherd I will fear no evil. He allows me to walk through the darkest valley so I learn to trust that you are with me. He leads me through the darkest valley so that nothing but your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sometimes the right path is the darkest valley, because in the darkest valley I clasp Jesus' hand the tightest. Do you know the hymn, Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Do you fear evil? Do you struggle for comfort tonight? Keep following your shepherd. Remember Psalm 22, he did not go through hell itself just to leave you behind at the first sign of trouble. Though you are weak, your shepherd is strong. For Christ has walked the valley of the shadow of the death. He has come out the other side in resurrection glory, so fear no evil, even death has lost its sting. He's already done it. We just follow after, like that video. Second, sometimes the right path is the darkest valley because, look down, verse 3, he guides me along the right paths. Why? For his name's sake. See, how much more glorious is it when you fear no evil, when Jesus is your comfort, even though you walk through the darkest valley? Like, it is glorious on the mountain when you fear no evil, but how much more in the darkest valley? I've been reading Job recently, and like, this is a guy, when we first meet him, like, he's lived his life on the highest mountain, and he's basically never come down. Like, he's holy, his life glorifies the Lord, he's got everything, and Satan comes along and he says, yeah, okay, but have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he's had? You've blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and surely he will curse you to your face. Like, it's all good when you're Job's comfort on the glorious mountain. Put him in the darkest valley, and we'll see how pathetic your sheep are and how pathetic your shepherding is. If you know the story, in the same chapter, God does strike him down. Job is on his knees, and he says this, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Glory. Isn't it glorious? My shepherd has led me through the glorious mountains, and he's led me through the darkest valleys. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory. Did you limp to church tonight? Did you come reluctantly, carrying sin and suffering? And yet here you are. And yet here you are. Here your shepherd has guided you. To the suffering sinner tonight who has no joy and yet has comfort, your shepherd is glorified in you now. To the person who comes here trembling, on the verge of tears, and yet says, "The Lord is my shepherd," your shepherd is glorified in you now. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We don't have time to go into them, unfortunately, but briefly, the rod is this, in the Bible, is this picture of discipline, of the father's good discipline of his children. And I want to say there's an enormous comfort offered to those who can grasp hold of the comfort of God's staff that leads, God's staff which wards away the wolves and the evil, but also God's rod of affliction, which disciplines and rebukes the children he loves. There is comfort in that. And both speak to his authority, don't they? It is his authority that is our comfort. It is the Lord that is my shepherd. And if we don't have time to... But there is deep comfort in giving ourselves over to that authority. And in his authority, his decree was to die. John 10, verse 15, he says, Jesus said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Verse 18, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." Amazing, isn't it? Verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." See, as Christ hung on the cross, mocked and spat on by his enemies, he knew God was preparing the victory feast. As we are reading Psalm 22, we know Psalm 23 is coming. As Christ looked pathetic, helpless, empty on the cross, God was anointing his head with the oil of his beloved, filling his cup till it overflowed with blessings. And so for you, as you bear your cross, mocked and spat on by a fallen world, looking pathetic and helpless to a people who are enemies of God. Know that the Lord Jesus himself is preparing your victory feast. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Like, think of the Apostle Stephen. I love it. It's one of my favorite moments in the Bible. He's in the presence of this furious mob. They're coming. It says they're gnashing their teeth, it says. And they're picking up rocks, ready to stone him to death. Acts 7:55 to 56. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, as they're getting their rocks ready to stone him, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God in the presence of his enemies. He saw his good shepherd most clearly, preparing a table for him. You anoint my head with oil. We don't have the time to get into that, but how amazing is it that we can share in Christ's anointing? How can it be that I should gain any interest in the Savior's blood? You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. It makes us think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? The cup of God's wrath is before him. The cup that should be drunk by us, who are by nature deserving of God's wrath. And see, Christ didn't just grab the cup and absent-mindedly throw it away. He drank it for us. See, Christ didn't just empty the poison in our cup by drinking it for us. He then filled it with so many blessings it now overflows. Ephesians 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Believer, the blessings in our cup, the loving kindness of God as a flood, the streams of mercy never ceasing, the pardon of sin, the joy of the Spirit, union and communion with God, adoption to sonship, the riches of God's grace lavished on us, hope in life and death. We could go on. All the blessings in our cup. May our hearts overflow with joy and peace in the cup of blessings Christ pours out by his blood. Oh, come thou font of every blessing. As we finish now, surely your goodness and love, that's faithful covenant love, surely your goodness and faithful love will follow, more accurately, pursue me. Will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is there a more peaceful word than dwell? Guys, how's your pursuit after Christ going? Is every inch of your life a picture of goodness and faithful love to your Lord? No, mine isn't either. Here's the thing. It is not our goodness and faithful love that pursues Christ. Look at verse 6. It is he that pursues. It is he that pursues with his goodness and his faithful love. It is he that watches us wander into sin, away from his loving, gracious arms and into the deceitful, destructive arms of Satan and his idols. He sees his sheep's unfaithfulness again and again. And yet he doesn't throw us out of his house with righteous fury. He prepares a table and a room for us. He pursues us with a passion. He leaves the 99 and goes after the one. He sees all our unfaithfulness, all our evil, and he doesn't throw us out to the wolves. He takes us gently by the hand. He leadeth me into his good and loving arms. He is like a husband who catches his wife with another man, and yet it's the husband who pursues. It's the husband who pursues her with everything he's got, going as far as to lay down his life for her. Pursuing her until she sees his goodness and faithful love. He pursues me all the days of my life. On my best day, on my worst day. On my holiest day, and my unholiest day. He is faithful. Gethsemane, his disciples just keep dozing off again and again, remember? Jesus keeps coming back and he says, just stay up a bit. And they're off to sleep. Unfaithful to their Lord again and again. While Jesus is drinking the cup of wrath that should be theirs. Oh, our unfaithfulness, oh, his faithfulness. He pursues you now. He wants you to know his goodness and his faithful love now tonight. I mean, do you notice how it's all present tastes? Like, present tense, sorry. He is present. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He prepares a table. He anoints my head. My cup overflows now. And it gets even better. Think of the best day of your life. The best day of your life. Maybe it's the day when you really committed to Christ, when Christ tasted the sweetest for you. Remember it? Think of all the blessings you have in him now tonight. And as Thomas Brooks puts it, if there be so much to be had in a wilderness, what then shall be had in paradise? If there be so much to be had in this present wilderness, what then shall be had in future paradise, where we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? I don't know if you know the old blues song. My, my mother, how you walk along. Your feet might slip, but your soul ain't gone. Since my soul's got a seat up in the kingdom, that's all right. That's all right. Since my soul's got a seat up in the kingdom, that's all right. Your feet may slip, but your soul ain't gone. Since your soul's got a shepherd in the kingdom, that's all right. And finally, I want to say, if you're coming here and you aren't trusting your shepherd, does the world have a better offer than this? I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Are you lost? He has sent his shepherd. His own son has laid down his life for you. Are you coming here harassed and helpless? Like sheep without a shepherd? He's come. And I do believe that through my weak and fumbling words, that he calls you tonight. Your shepherd calls you tonight. Come to your shepherd, lost sheep. He calls us by name. Do you hear his voice? Have you been in the darkest valley and you've heard his voice? Have you felt harassed and you've heard his voice? Have you felt helpless and you've heard his voice? Come to the shepherd who gives you rest, who refreshes your soul. Come to the shepherd who takes you to green pastures, who leads you beside quiet waters, who fills your cup with blessings so much it overflows. Listen to his voice. 1 Peter, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Return. Return to your shepherd, the shepherd of your soul, and find rest. Let's pray.